Good morning from WVIK News in the Quad Cities. I'm Joseph Leahy. The former superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools has agreed to a plea deal in federal court rather than go to trial. Iowa Public Radio's Isabella Liu reports that Ian Roberts was arrested by ICE in September for being in the country without legal status.
Roberts pleaded guilty to falsely claiming he was a citizen on an employment form when he was hired by Des Moines Schools. He also pleaded guilty to possessing firearms while not having legal status in the country. Under the deal, the government won't pursue additional federal charges against him in the same federal court related to his false statement and firearms possession. Alfredo Parrish is Roberts' attorney. He called the plea deal not the happiest moment of his legal career.
I would say folks should not get ahead of their skis. Like I said, the last time I met publicly with everyone, sentencing will be the day that will be most important, that we will bring out, we believe, factors that could impact his sentencing.
Robert's sentencing date is set for the end of May. I'm Isabella Liu, IPR News.
The Illinois Board of Higher Education has approved a $2.7 billion budget request for the upcoming fiscal year. That's a 4.6% increase over the funding level that lawmakers approved for this year. The request came at the same time that Governor J.B. Pritzker announced he's reducing this year's higher education budget by $30.5 million. Both moves have prompted criticism from the union that represents university employees. Illinois is yet again at risk of losing federal dollars from the Department of Health and Human Services. WBEZ's Mawa Iqbal reports that this time it's over a state abortion law from 2017.
Medical providers in Illinois are required to refer patients for abortion care. HHS says that law violates federal statutes shielding providers from making abortion referrals on religious or moral grounds. Governor J.B. Pritzker, in a statement, says it's, quote, no surprise the Trump administration is doubling down on their attacks to strip away health care from Americans. A federal judge in April found a portion of that law unconstitutional, specifically the part requiring providers to state the benefits and risks of abortion and childbirth. The agency is giving Illinois 30 days to respond. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The USDA has confirmed a positive case of bird flu in Kossuth County, Iowa, in a mixed-species flock of game bird pheasants and backyard chickens. This marks Iowa's first detection of the H5N1 virus in domestic birds this year. Governor Kim Reynolds authorized a disaster proclamation for the central Iowa county on Thursday that allows state resources from several agencies to assist with tracking, containment, and disinfection. Last year, Iowa had 10 confirmed bird flu cases with poultry affecting over 750,000 domestic birds. Hundreds of concerned residents in Scott County oppose a new natural gas power plant that's proposed for farmland east of Maysville, Iowa. WVIK's freelance reporter Jonathan Turner has more.
Dozens of residents crowded into Scott County Library in Eldridge on Wednesday night, January 21st, to hear some of the concerns regarding a planned 240-megawatt plant proposed by Central Iowa Power Cooperative. Concerned citizens of Scott County formed last fall in response to the plan and held Wednesday's meeting to inform the public of multiple impacts that a proposed natural gas-fired electricity-generating peaking plant would have on Scott County and surrounding areas. Dr. Russ Barant, a physician who lives in Eldridge, spoke Wednesday about the potential health risks.
You can't see fine particulate pollution, but you can definitely feel it, whether it's in your lungs or your chest, or your medical bills. And as a physician and a neighbor, I continue to urge our leaders to put the health of Eldridge and Scott County residents first.
The ordinance changes to allow SIPCO to seek a special permit have been recommended by Planning and Zoning and are to be considered by the Scott County Board of Supervisors at their meeting Thursday, January 29th. If approved, the County Board of Adjustment would consider a special use permit that would allow SIPCO to build. For WVIK News, this is Jonathan Turner.
Dine photographer's work is being shown at the Dubuque Museum of Art through February 1st. WVIK's Brady Johnson has more on the Navajo artist who's speaking at the museum this evening.
Will Wilson is an associate professor of photography and media at UT Austin in Texas. The Navajo artist merges analog and digital photography to examine how indigenous peoples are reflected in the medium. Some of his work is being shown alongside the museum's collection of photographer Edward S. Curtis, who documented Native people for 20 years starting in 1907. Wilson uses photography methods that originated in the late 19th century.
The first photographs of Navajo people, of Diné, were taken with this process. And it actually happened during sort of a traumatic moment in our history, known as the Long Walk, where Navajo folks were subject to a scorched earth campaign by the U.S. government, rounded up, forced to march during the winter, like 300 or 400 miles, to this place called Fort Sumner or Bosque Redondo.
Wilson says his work in some ways is a response to Curtis's photography, showing that the Diné people are still here today. Wilson is speaking at the Dubuque Museum of Art on Friday, starting at 5 p.m. Admission is $12. The exhibit is available through February 1st. I'm Brady Johnson, WVIK News.
And this is WVIK News.